You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey now, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Ed and I are still a little hungover from the grape yesterday from our Italian-American Appreciation Monday.
What a party.
Woo! Thank that you, homemade sir. Hooch from the Mayor's Vineyards in Pliskin Acres. Amazing.
Thank you. My grandfather and uncles taught me how to do that. Yeah, in the old wine
my
cellar.
Great-grandpa, Alexandro, he taught me how to do it a vineyard, huh? Even with the crackheads running through the vineyard, huh?
Well, it wasn't here.
Oh.
It wasn't in Pliskin Acres. Oh. So.
But the vineyards are here, though.
Yes.
So that's the good thing.
Good morning, Christy Simone.
Good morning to you, Ed Alexander. So you just did my weird guitar sound that I do. Lots of folks running through today. We got our good friend Pat from Sun Street.
Yay.
Hitch.
Yay.
Our Toastmasters guy. He'll be stopping by with a nice lady named, I don't know if she's nice. We'll see when she gets here. I'm sure she is. Her name's Arlene. And then Kath McCauley, she's one of our listeners, got to meet her through the show. And she's going to come in. She has an exciting thing that she's working on. She just filmed her first PBS series.
That's
television
cool.
series.
Yeah.
She filmed it in Michigan, and it's going to be at PBS stations across the country after the New Year.
Crazy cool.
So we're going to do a little thing, and then a little thing with her, and then Stevie Rivera sometime today. It's a Wing It Tuesday, as Steve would say. So we're going to make it happen. What do you got there, Ed Alexander?
I got tickets for the car show this weekend, the big one.
Oh, that's true.
Tucson Classics Car Show, the Rotary Car Club, the one with like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars over at St. Gregory. Oh, I'm sorry, Gregory School.
Yeah, we don't want to
mess up the saints.
Bring up
here.
The saints and jeez. Jesus stuff.
I know. Heaven forbid. Wow.
It's good stuff.
I remember good, walk good away stuff. From that one. Huh?
I posted the headlines from the Star with Rahina on one side and Ed on the other.
Mm.
And the stories, one says, you know, Ackerley, priorities, budget, cops.
Yep.
The other side was Rahina environment.
Yep.
And sometimes, most of the time, Facebook is a wastoids. I got it. But what's funny, I put it up there, and I got two responses from some local D's that really I thought, especially one of them, gave you, when you say to yourself, what the hell's wrong with this town?
Uh-huh.
What don't they? What do they not get? And I thought this one nice lady's stuff that came out of her mouth really put she really kind of summarized, what the Tucson mindset is here. With some of our neighbors in the city, you go, well, everything's just great out there.
Oh, yeah?
Right.
Everything's just great out there?
Then it's funny is we have the story in the Star about the scooters.
Scooters. Scooters are a great thing.
After the month of the scooters.
Fake news.
Scooters
Donald,
is a great
calm
thing,
yourself,
man. Hey, ring, ring. Who is it? It's the city. Hi. Hey, scooters are a great thing. I'll be right on it. Okay. Right. Come on. Yeah, come on.
Well, what we're going to do.
Did anybody go downtown for meet yourself and all that stuff? Were there not scooters here, there, and everywhere? You're going, I wonder if somebody's going to come back and get that one.
It was funny.
I was like, what is it?
We
don't have enough trash in this town.
Bill and Betsy went to the Marana Outlet Malls because they do different concerts.
Yeah,
once
weekend
there.
Concerts, stuff like that.
And there was some pretty solid bluegrass stuff going on.
Good.
This last weekend.
Good.
And when Bill and I were talking yesterday morning, he said, well, man, it was a heck of a crowd there. Right? He goes, you know, with all the stuff going on downtown. I go, and I'm sitting there. I didn't say it to him. Then I go, Marana's not going downtown.
Right. Right? People from Marana, Oro Valley's not going downtown. That's a long way for them.
But Marana and Oro Valley are rarely coming downtown.
You guys.
Did you think,
guys aren't players.
Did anyone really think that many people from Marana, Oro Valley would actually get in their car and drive downtown? It's not there yet, kids.
Mm.
There's restaurants everywhere.
Yeah. You're right.
And there's bars.
There's bars everywhere, yeah.
In the end, I think the downtown dynamic, I think I said this years ago when they were first doing the streetcar, right, is The way downtown will work, the streetcar, whatever, okay, is the U of A has to absorb downtown.
It's getting there.
It's such a beast, the U of A.
They're,
and there seems
eating,
to be no end in sight
right.
of its growth and expansion. Why would that change now? So I think that's the real dynamic, right? Is you'll have the people who live close by, and you'll have the U of A, and it just suck it all in, right? And that's okay. You know, they're looking for more housing for kids. You know, it's interesting too. This dynamic in, you know, neighborhoods like Tia Gloria's, because she's so near campus, right? Is when we first started the show, what was one of the big battles? Mini dorms.
Oh, geez, mini dorms, yeah.
Right? The idea, if you don't know what a mini dorm is, yeah. someone would go in, buy a house, split it up into four spots with four different entrances, and you would rent out one bedroom and a toilet for each kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, neighbors hated that a lot of times. You know, it's too transient of a neighbor. If they have parties. I think Tia Gloria's found a couple of half-naked co-eds in the street across her from her place.
Jeez.
As we like to say in New York, it adds to the ambience.
Hey, enjoy. Get over it. Yeah, so would you like to have four people next to you or a nine-story high-rise next to you?
Do you remember the Karen Ulick solution to this? Remember, you can only have
yes.
so many unrelated people living in one house?
Unrelated people.
Right?
Yes.
And so people are like, what are we going to do?
We were Sanctuary City.
We're going to...
Aren't you looking like everybody live there? Karen, you're off the script.
But this is where we're at, kids, right? Now, so we have the high-rises are going up, right? Bert's building all those apartments, the Flynn apartments where Pla Placida is going to be. In the end, that's really part of your, the universe. That's what always kills me. When they blew up that flycatcher dump on 6th and 4th there, right?
Yeah,
everyone was freaking out that they're going to offer up. They're going to put a high rise there or whatever.
Oh, my God. They're going to get rid of the dump.
Right. Remember, or it was the one by Maloney's also. They're going to do one there, this recent one. And they're like, oh, it can't be student housing. It has to be market rent housing or whatever. And you're like,
it's not your property, Jack.
This is the world we're in. The U of A stirs the drink in that area and for a lot of this area. Let's just be real.
Point.
You know, and so with all of this, that's where we're at. Downtown and the U of A. I mean, look at this gem museum. It definitely is one of our strengths. We've done a gem show for so many decades. We're having a gem and mineral museum. God knows we have enough specimens to fill
right
15.
Well, you called for that a long time ago.
But of course, this is the Pima County project that we all shot down in the bonds. Remember? And then Chuck found an extra $28 million. I forgot what the number is. $20-something million dollars to build this. This is part of the 2015 doomed bonds.
Yeah. So he just goes around it.
Right.
Thank you. That's how it works, folks.
So when I was reading the fluff piece in the paper about the whole thing, not a fluff piece, it's just promotional, I had mixed feelings about it because I kind of, you know too much, right?
Right.
If you're fat, dumb, and happy and you read that and you went, oh, that's wonderful.
Look, Martha. Yeah.
But then you know how much Huckleberry went and Elias and Valadez and Bronson went around the voters on that one. Tomorrow, yeah. Allie's going to be on, and we're going to talk about the surpluses. This is Gary Davidson called this out years ago. All this extra money. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm not going to get too deep in it. I want to cover what I'm going to cover with Allie. But the big thing is, think about this. You go through a process. There's a process that you have to go through to have a budget. You have public hearings, and Chuck does the minimum of it, right? But last year, he had a surplus of $64 million. And over the last 5 years, he's had a surplus of $230 million. So this is $230 million extracted from the private sector of Pima County. That did not go through a budget process, really. It was just horse crap.
Hmm.
Now, if it was a one-time thing or whatever and weirdness happens, okay. But this seems, he only gave the last 5 years. I'd love to see the last 20 years. All right? But there's a pattern that he pads the budget. Then, through no public hearing. Well, there's a public hearing, but there's no budget process. On the back end, all of a sudden, he spends $64 million. He can spend 40. It's an average of $45 million a year over 5 years.
Son, don't look there, son. Come
right?
on. Don't look over
so
here.
He extracted an extra $45 million each year from the taxpayer that, quote, he didn't really need most of it.
Hmm.
But then, on his whim, he gets to say, we're going to spend it on this, this, and this. And then the three Democrats go, yes, Chuck. You know, I love it. When we come back, I want to tell you about...
You have to get coffee. That's what you got to do.
I didn't even make coffee yet. That's the
See?
Scary part.
And you're on it already. Look at you.
When we come back, I want to talk about Richard Elias when we come back. There's something about Richard Elias that always kills me, and I want to talk about that. So, Richard, I know you listen.
Mm. Does he?
Oh, I got to tell this story.
Okay.
I'm going to tell the story when we get back.
Okay.
It's about something we did last week, and he called up here to complain. So he's listening. Richard, I hope you're listening. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
It's Richard Carpenter's birthday. We'll let Karen sing. She's better. Here we go. Wake up, Tucson. 6:17 your morning. Wake up, Tucson. That's Pat Benatar and her hubby there. And so the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has come out with their inductee. They're what do you call them? They're not really inductees. They're nominees for the 2020. Okay. And by now, the world knows that it's pretty well a farce. There aren't that many rock and rollers in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, there's a couple of things here.
It's a great place to visit.
Jackass Jan Wenner's gone.
He's gone. Finally,
so
guy who
ruined
Rolling Stones. Now he's gone. But they brought Pittman in, right?
Right.
They brought Pittman in as the guy who started MTV, screwed that up because there's no music television on music television.
Right.
And then they screwed up iHeart and all those radio stations, 600, 800 radio stations around the country. There's 6 or 8 of them here. Okay. They all play, what's his name? Ryan Seacrest, who's great. Okay. He's great. But they play him like 6-8 hours a day, and then they go home. It's, you know, the man ruined everything. Now he's in charge of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with all his buddies from all these years. What do you think? But anyhow,
what's
it's a good,
our nominees?
It's
Let's
a good,
play the game.
It's a good list for me to play some stuff off.
Yeah,
here.
We'll see.
Yeah, what?
Let's see what we got.
I'm looking here. Okay. I'll open it up. Okay. So Dave Matthews Band. I know what you think about that. Okay, Pat Benatar, that's why I skipped to that, okay?
Pat definitely should be there.
All right, absolutely. Depeche Mode.
Definitely should be there.
In the side room, right?
If you put The Cure in, which they did last year,
yeah.
And you want to acknowledge the new wave thing
sure.
that came through in the 80s, Depeche Mode is on the Mount Rushmore there, and they should be in there.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
I'm not a huge Depeche-y.
Right. I was going to say, you can put them on the side room.
I put them there.
But yeah.
Doobies are definite.
Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston. What does that have to do with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? She's a wonderful.
Judas Priest is a definite.
Judas Priest, Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
What do you like better? Do you like Autobahn or Tour de France better? What's
Autobahn.
Your
Autobahn. Autobahn. MC5. Not rock and roll.
Got
Sorry.
Me.
Motorhead.
No.
People like Motorhead. Nine Inch Nails. Sorry, I can't sing this song, but the U of A band might play one for next weekend.
I like Trent Reznor and a lot of the stuff that he does,
yeah.
but I don't know if they're... I don't think they're Hall
rock
of Fame
Rock and Roll
worthy.
Hall of Fame, like Chuck Berry and, you know... Jeez, and the Notorious Big B.I.G.
Oh,
I don't think so. See what I'm talking about? Rufus with Chaka Khan. Well,
no.
Chaka Khan without Rufus, maybe. But no. Todd Rundgren, he's done a lot of stuff.
He's close.
He was innovative, okay? Soundgarden, I would imagine so, right?
I
think so.
I mean, once we put in, I assume Pearl Jam's in the Hall of Fame.
They probably,
once
sure.
Once they did Pearl Jam and Nirvana, we were fine with the Seattle thing.
Right,
I guess
right,
Soundgarden.
Sure. T-Rex, Bang a Gong. Come on. I love that song, but are they Rock and Roll Hall of Famers?
No.
No, they're rock and rollers. And Thin Lizzy. The boys
Close.
Are back. You know, I mean, come on. It's Junko.
And
half of them will get in.
I know I play this game every year for 10 years. So so just because they got Yes in there doesn't mean I'm happy. All right, so we're in the 50th anniversary of the first King Crimson album.
Yeah.
It's one of the most influential albums ever, and they've been recording and influencing people for decades. So and Emerson, Lake, and Palmer is also not in the Hall of Fame.
They're not?
And neither are the Moody Blues.
Still. Are you kidding me?
I don't think the Moody Blues are.
I'm out of here.
This is what I'm talking
about. I can walk after that, man. That's
Epitaph. One of the greatest anti-war songs ever. But I'm just telling you, if you look at Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, record sales and what they did, the idea they've done out in there, absolutely asinine. So Moody Blues, I don't think, is in the Hall of Fame. I know that sounds... I know Dave Slavin's crying in his oatmeal.
See, that's
right
why
now.
I said this doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's a cool place to go and look at all the costumes and stuff and the displays. It really is.
Right.
It's a cool museum.
Sure.
But when it comes to who's in at this junk, come on.
And I get
MC5.
It. It's about putting on a show.
Yeah.
For these
it's
guys.
A Bob Pittman show and all his friends.
You know.
Wow.
Moody Blues.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. Are the Moody Blues in there?
I'll look for it. You talk. Rock and Roll.
I don't know if they have or not. So, they've been eligible for induction for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame since 1990 something.
Yeah. And even that's late because it started in 64. So, what are you talking about? Read Moody Blues Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. April 15th, 2008, Moody Blues was eligible since 19, but it wasn't until they were, I think they're in.
I don't.
There they are. Justin Haven's birthday yesterday, but we were busy doing everything else.
We did the Italian stuff. That's correct.
So when Haven passed, had the opportunity induction ceremony Saturday to reflect on the careers. I guess they did.
Oh, okay. That's,
thank you
that
very
makes
much.
A little better. Okay, good. Good, 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 good. That makes me feel a lot better. So
okay.
So anyway, we'll play the little game with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and then they make everyone go online and put... See, your votes mean nothing.
Of course not.
That's the best part. It's so cute that these people are actually spending that 33 seconds out of their life to go on the website and go, oh, I want whatever
nothing.
To be in there.
Nothing.
And it doesn't mean anything.
It's like the Academy Awards.
So
nothing.
Jan Pittman and this other guy.
Yeah.
And these other folks are going to sit in a room, the smoky room with the cigars, and
sure.
pick out who they want.
Yes, and some fine wine and brandy, and they'll be fine.
I'll get to the Pima County crybaby stuff after the Bloomberg CBS. One thing I was going to say at the end of the show yesterday, and we ran out of time, the story about Rachel Sedgwick, right? It was in the Star, right? About her application, because she wants to be a lawyer, right? She wants to be a member
I sent
of the
it to you, and I asked you, is this news, or is this like old news, or is this
so
bottom of the barrel news? What is it?
Again, the Bar Association has their standards, whoever they think they would like in part of their club. So she'll have to figure that out with them, all right? But what I love about this is someone at the Bar Association does not like Rachel Sedgwick. That's what this is about. I don't know if you know this, but lawyers can get political, okay? So this was leaked to the Arizona Daily Star to do a hit piece. Trust me, it's not like anyone at the Arizona Daily Star said, you know, I'm going to dig on Rachel Sedgwick, and I'm going to look at all these various things in her life, and we're going to get her. That is way too much effort.
That's too much work
way
for the Star.
Way too much effort.
Oh, yeah.
So it is nice that you're – now, I don't know if your application to the Bar Association – because – I don't think the Bar Association is not a government entity, right?
No.
They're a private association of lawyers that has their standards and blah, blah, blah. Got it. So I didn't know their stuff is susceptible to a FOIA request from a newspaper.
Of course not.
So I guess the thing is, so what we're finding out is your application process with the Bar Association is an open document? I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. So, to me, it looks like someone at the Bar Association who's probably is at least some sort of spiritual associate of the people that have ruined Pima County,
mm-hmm.
who hate Rachel Sedgwick, fed it to the Star, who did a story.
I know. It came out of nowhere. It was like, what is that?
And everyone at the Star is patting each other in the back going,
reporting.
We got her.
Yeah.
We're digging.
We're digging.
They don't have time to dig. Joe Satriani live. Did you ever see him?
I did.
Okay.
First time I saw him was Phoenix Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Wow.
During the Arizona State Fair, when I was a sophomore junior at NAU on this tour, the Flying in a Blue Dream tour.
Uh-huh. Very cool.
It was the first time I'd ever been to one of these general admission concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, these are the ones that you weren't supposed to, like, remember there was that thing that happened in Ohio where these people got killed, everyone running to a concert? Remember? I know they did a WKRP about it, believe it or not. It was the idea that everyone paid the same price for a ticket, and then they all opened the doors and everyone had to run to their seats.
Sure. No reserve seats. Yep. General admission.
Not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so this happened at this concert because you paid for your, all you had to do was pay for your entry into the fair.
Free with your admission to the fair.
Right.
Yeah.
And so everyone was waiting at the doors like cattle. And
yes.
I remember everyone, even though all the, you know, the secure, please walk, please walk.
Yeah.
And everyone's running. I remember my buddy Tom and my buddy Mark, literally, we got like sixth row center.
Wow.
But literally they were laying across all the seats, saving them. And like people are trying to sit there and one guy was trying to pull Tom off the seat. He's like, no, I'm saving these. It was classic. That's my Satriani. And what a great concert it was.
No.
And at that point, he had two albums under his belt, which was Flying with Surfing with an Alien and this one. So
Blue Dream thing.
Good stuff.
Cool.
Martin said that Rachel responded to it, and I was just looking up at her Facebook page. Maybe I didn't go deep enough, so in relation to this Arizona Daily Star story.
Okay.
We know the Star hates her guts, so we got it.
She's not on because she's not on anybody's side. She's not on Grijalva's side. But she's not necessarily against Grijalva.
Yeah, she is.
Well, but she tries to play.
You got to watch meetings.
Okay.
And Crystal.
Well, who wouldn't?
And Crystal Foster is the nastiest. That is a nasty woman. Nasty.
Mean girls.
Nasty.
Oh, man.
Adelita's mellowing out at times. She's still useless, but Crystal Foster. Woo! That's some nasty ladies, right? Nasty lady right there. So what's so funny about doing this show is certain Democrats in power say they don't listen to it. We ignore it. I've seen emails between Mark Evans and Huckleberry, and Mark Evans talks about this show with such derision. Oh, you know, basically, I'm an idiot, you know, doesn't know what he's talking about. Love it. We're the only radio show in Tucson that ever had the county have a Truth Squad page in response to it. And it was so pathetic that they had to end it after a while because we were having too much fun with it. And it was born out of the 2015 bond election where Huckleberry can't believe he lost. He never lost
like that before.
He had it so rigged. They spent thousands of dollars putting on meetings with a bond committee that included a guy named, I don't know, Gary Davidson, right? Where they came up with a plan. They listened to the stakeholders. And, you know, it was one of those things where Gary will probably tell you that no one ever is totally happy on this bond committee, which is probably a decent bond package, right? And it was much smaller than the one that Huck threw out there. And then all of a sudden it gets to the Huckster. He goes, yeah, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. So that's when this six-headed monster came out that out the door, when you paid all the interest, the taxpayers paid the interest, it was $1 billion. A billion with a B. Like bastard or boy or bunny rabbit. That kind of B. Those are just random words that I chose that start with B. Now, so then they did the whole thing they always do. We're going to have a kickoff event. And you get everyone. And remember, how you do a bond election in this town is you throw candy at everybody. And part of the candy that you throw at everyone is, in response to getting the candy from the taxpayers, you better make sure that you're marketing to your constituents, whoever you are, to make sure they vote yes for the bond. And they hit everyone. Interfaith Council people, the Desert Museum, the bike people. And that's how the genius of this is supposed to work.
You get money, and you get funding.
Absolutely.
And you get funding.
And, so that's what you have. So then you email your constituents, right? You have your, that you hit every month, right? Whether it's Ted Schmidt and the soccer people over at FC Tucson, whether it's the Interfaith Council mm-hmm. people, the Symphony people, the Desert Museum people, the Friends of San Javier. They do it all.
Everybody, the executive director of everything.
So then you got to do the kickoff event, right? Where everyone's together taking the pictures. Ray Carroll brings his dog. Remember, this is the greatest play of all. I forgot what his dog's name is. Who's? I love your dog, Ray. He's much smarter and better than you, except that he hangs out with you. But it's like, yeah, Scooter. What do you think about it? You know, and there's Nintzel. What do you guys think? I mean, it's amazing.
I didn't have to go anyplace. They all came to me. Wow, I can do a story.
This is great.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, right. What does Scooter think about this? Scooter thinks it's the greatest bonds that ever existed in the world. Imagine getting in front of that guy at court. You got this blithering guy. Yeah, welcome to Ray's Justice of the Peace Court.
Wake up, Ray. Wake up. Wake up, boy.
So then they spend $300,000 to $400,000 trying to shove this down your throat. All the players. Remember Tucson Medical? Remember the people that need your hospital? They need your money so badly that they have a raffle. Remember the community hospital? Well, they threw $30,000 to shove these bonds down your throat. And then whatever her name is who runs it, you're like, well, why would you spend 30? Oh, TMC feels as though we need to have so much healthier experiences for people.
And they still don't get the bones that they throw to Banner. County works with Banner. They don't work with TMC.
I don't even think Banner put money towards it.
I know. But TMC was in all this money, and they still don't get a seat at the table.
You know, so what happened was, so you guys know, for some of you newbies, so it gets shot down hard. And Jenny Crawford and Joe Bogart were the kind of there was a lot of worker bees, but both of them won a Wakey Award after that for all their hard work. And then, of course, the typical suspects of trying to educate you guys. Gary Davidson, myself, Supervisor Allie Miller, all the classics. That's when you first got to know Gary. Mm-hmm. Gary came on, and we called it the Bondoggle series. We even played the James Bond theme every time he came on. Bondoggle, something like that. And you guys learned what a joke this whole thing was. So I think we raised, the no people raised 12,000, 12 to 15,000.
Yeah.
It's always easier to get a no, but our 12 to 15 defeated their 300,000 and all these people saying, you must do this. And they went down hard. Hard! So that's when Chuck said to Mark Evans, former newspaper guy who, now, I got it, Mark, you got to pay your bills, so you went to the dark side. We got to do something to counteract all of this lies and misrepresentations of the county that cost us the bond election, which was the Pima County Truth Squad page. It's like being in a fascist society. These guys they actually had a person who would listen to our show.
Mm-hmm.
That was her job. So in the morning, she would wake up, getting her kids ready for school, and she would listen to our show. And she prayed to whatever deity she prayed to every morning, please don't let these two morons talk about the county. Please don't let these two morons talk about the county.
Because then she'd have to write a report.
Not only would she have to write a report, Richard Nixon, I mean Chuck Huckleberry, I mean Foghorn Leghorn, wanted a transcript.
You don't have to write a book. They wrote it for you. Just,
you want to talk about rent
for you.
Living rent-free in Chucky's brain?
Yeah.
That's it. So let me tell you this.
Richard.
Let me tell you the Richard Leah story. And I love that an old white guy tells Richard what to do. For a guy who's Mr. La Raza and Si Se Puede and Prop 205 and that old white man Trump, I hate him so much. The old white guy that makes 400 G's tells you everything what you're supposed to do. That's what I love about Richard Leas. The old white guy who hires mostly old white guys to work in all the departments over the last 20 years.
Huckleberry.
Tells Mr. Raul Jr. what to do. It's the best. You're a fraud. So I don't listen to the show during the commercial that much. I take my headphone off.
You got a 2 minute break. You have to.
I don't sit here with the headphones on for 3 hours. I take them off. I go to the bathroom. I talk to people. I pray. I meditate. I'm not listening. I'm not sitting in my chair listening to the headphones. So what happened was, I guess last week, Thumbs left the mic on over here. Okay.
Who, me?
Yep. And I wasn't listening to the commercials at all. And I was talking to somebody, and they said something that made me laugh. And I must have laughed right at the right time that Bill's promo played saying that Richard Elias was going to be on. It must have been, like, perfectly timed. And he's such a crybaby, Mr. Strong, si se puede!
Yeah.
That he called into the station to complain.
Oh, it was all about him, is what you're saying.
Or he contacted someone to complain. Let's just say that. You're so strong.
Yeah, I know.
6:54 to 6:54. 6:45 in the morning. Chris and Ed, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk.
Ooh, Trevor Rabin.
It's called Sludge. Wake up, Tucson. Good morning, Patrick Sneezik from Sun Street Mortgage.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we doing this morning?
Morning.
How are you doing, sir?
Good. Good.
All right.
Fall is in the air.
It's nice.
It's
isn't
almost
it?
There.
It's nice. God, it's nice out this morning.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I did the windows open driving down the old.
Yeah, so did I.
The old interstate.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
The air is fresh and crisp.
I am going to head to the alma mater soon for homecoming. First time in like decades.
Oh, are you? Oh, yeah. It should be good this weekend.
NAU?
A couple weekends. Yep.
Yeah.
And my buddy and I, who I went to school with, known him since first week of school ever. We've been talking about doing this dumb thing forever.
perfect year right now.
Dumb.
Do it. Yeah.
Lumberjack country.
Yeah.
We got the.
Awesome.
We did the Airbnb thing. We're ready to rock.
Very cool.
Kylie, who used to coach with Tony at the U of A soccer, she's the head coach up there for NAU soccer. So they have a Friday night game. So we're going to do that. And then NAU, of course, has a beautiful thing called Tequila Sunrise on Saturday morning. Used to be at the old Elks Lodge up north of campus where somehow we'd all show up at 5:30 in the morning and drink tequila sunrises.
This is crazy. They're going to be getting their first snow up there soon.
I might be making snow people before.
Yeah.
I don't want to say snowman. It's too binary.
The snow up there was great last year.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, no, they were skiing in May, I think.
I think so. So that was pretty good stuff.
How's the world of mortgages going?
You know, it's good. It's been a good year. You know, on previous shows, you and I have always chatted about rates.
Yeah.
I can't stop talking about it. And if there's one thing I can tell our listening audience out there, you know, you see the Quicken loans, you see the news media, you know, printing the 30-year fixed rate at, you know, 3 3/8, 3.5%.
Right.
A lot of people need to understand a couple things. One is, especially in the media, they have their sources of where they get their information. A lot of times it's just an average of what, you know, the rates are across the country. That's the first, misleading issue. The second thing is when the consumer hears or sees the low rate, they think they're automatically getting that rate. And that is not necessarily true at all.
Hold on, but it has all that small print at the bottom of the commercial.
Which nobody reads. Yes, you know. So, you know, you need to understand it's risk-based pricing.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that go into determining what kind of rate you end up getting, like what your credit score is, the type of property you're buying, how much you put down, even the state you're buying in. You know, some states have better pricing than others because they have lower delinquency or foreclosure rates going than in Arizona. Okay.
Right.
And so all of those things get factored in to what kind of rate you end up getting. And loan officers, I don't care who you work for, they always try their best to get you the best rate they can.
Of course. They should.
And here's another thing while we're on it. Loan officers do not control rates.
Right.
They just don't. And so, you know, please don't verbally abuse your loan officer. Because, you know, you think you should get better, and they'll tell you why you're getting the rate you're getting.
You know, it's interesting.
We try to help everybody.
Of all our discussions we've had over the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And This show was born when the 08 fun happened.
Right.
And you just said a magical three words, risk-based pricing.
Right.
Right? So people are like, I'm sure there's some people listening to that. I think a lot of the irresponsible people in the world get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because we were straying from risk-based pricing.
Oh, my God.
Leading up to 08. Isn't this part of the reason why we got to where we did?
Well, this is true. And, you know, we had to create a level playing field had to be created. You know, back then, and let me tell you, I lived through it because it was a wild time.
And kudos if you were to you standing, and the crew if you, for surviving and thriving thank
you,
past it.
Thank you. If you were standing and breathing then, you could get a loan. I mean, it was literally that bad.
So think about that scene from The Big Short, right?
Yes.
So they send the guys down to Florida, right? And they're looking at the houses that nobody's living in.
Right.
And they track down two of the people that had these loans for these big, beautiful houses, and they turn out to be strippers that were
dancers,
down the strip from the... Oh, sorry, dancers.
That's...
from the bank.
Right. That's one of a million stories. Great. Oh, man.
Great scene.
So...
But that's what we're talking about. Risk-based pricing is where this is, we're at.
It's the way of life now, Now rates are great. They're great. The rates are great. You know, there's talk that they could go down next year, it's anybody's guess.
So when I was I'm going to do some name dropping like Rodney Glassman right now.
Oh yeah. I know Rodney.
So San Diego, I was lunching with the president.
Yes, you were.
That's right.
And he was like, yeah, I mean, if we want to go, why don't we do a negative interest rate?
Right.
Why wouldn't we do that?
Oh.
I mean, he said it.
No, I know.
And so I'm not saying we're going negative interest rates.
I'm not either. You know, now that's not necessarily a good thing, okay?
No. it's like,
so let's be careful.
But I'm just saying, I think that drive to keep them down,
the drive to keep them down is there for now. Yeah.
And then we got to see how we get through an election season.
This is true. And rates typically don't move a whole lot in an election year. They're stable because you don't know who the next administration is, who's going to be there.
But if you're Trump, you want to keep them down.
Oh, if you're Trump, you want them down. Right. Trump's upset they're not down farther.
Right. And they want to keep, you always want to keep gas prices down during election year.
Right. Right. This is true.
Remember when they blew up the Saudi oil place? That was like, 3-4 weeks ago? Yeah. And they thought gas was going to go off the wall.
Right.
And it actually really didn't. But again.
Yeah, it went up a little bit, but not much.
Tell me about Tucson housing market right now.
Strong. Still, a reasonable amount of supply and still high demand, which is really great to see.
So we said sweet. What was that? We've always talked about that range, that sweet spot range.
Right.
Is it widening at all, or is it still in that 200 to 300 number?
I think it's like the 200 to 400 number. That's kind of where it is.
Okay.
That's a hot price range. It's affordable. Rates are low. If you're a first-time home buyer and you can afford to be in that price range, that's a wonderful place to start.
400-plus is still a little rough?
400-plus. As you go up, it can get a little – the inventory, gets a little thinner.
Right.
But it's out there. You just got to go find the home. You find your dream home,
How about the world? We were just talking about this with Tim from Desert Rose yesterday, the investor buying those investment properties. What's that market looking like?
It's there. There's not as much buying and flipping going on as there used to be. If you're an investor, you got to make sure you've got your profit margin in there that it fits your formula. And you want to turn those around and rehab them and get them on the market, as fast as you can. You don't see a whole lot of that in comparison to, 2010, 11, and 12, where we had boatloads of them.
Correct.
I mean, there were a lot of people getting in the game and doing that. But the investment property market it's there, but not a lot of buying and flipping going on as historically we've seen.
Look, these guys know, take the street that leads you home.
Yes, please.
These guys know what they're doing. Guys and gals know what they're doing. 888-634-6399. But go to sunstreetmortgage.com.
Thank you.
And they have lots of offices all over Tucson. There is
all over the state.
You don't have a long drive to get to an office and talk to a human being.
No, just look us up online and you'll see.
I guess you can do one of those apps where you can do your entire loan and put all your sensitive information on your phone and then
yes, you can.
Or you go see a human being.
Yes, you can.
One of and, 16
and you see that technology moving forward. The consumer totally hasn't embraced that yet. Because, you know, they're worried about identity theft. Where does it go when I push send? You know, is it encrypted? Am I protected? You know. But, you know, technology is definitely speeds up our process.
It's the same thing. Would you send all your tax returns over your phone on a Wi-Fi?
Right. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think so. But it's you got to start somewhere.
All right. SunStreetMortgage.com.
Thanks, gentlemen, for having me on.
Tell them you heard them on Wake Up.
Yes,
we got CDO South Point on Saturday, Friday night.
They have their homecoming this week. Yeah. Go Lancers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Ed Alexander, spin us away. SunStreet Mortgage.